At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Monday morning at Bar Canada at the D.
Let's go.
It's happening.
We've definitely been prepared and ready to do this show for 34 minutes now.
We have.
We didn't just turn on the lights.
Lights just turned on 2 seconds ago. And Kelly and I were like, oh, yeah, lights.
We could have done this for an hour without realizing they were on.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Kelly Bidlin.
Happy Thanksgiving week.
What is more awkward? Saying happy Thanksgiving prior to the holiday? This applies to any holiday. Well, Christmas is the only thing, because people say Merry Christmas.
No, I know where you're going.
Happy Thanksgiving prior to the holiday or the day after Thanksgiving, still coming out with a happy Thanksgiving.
You're kind of going Larry David, the whole Happy New Year's thing here on me. I got you. I think Happy Thanksgiving, you are now okay to say as of today.
As of today, I agree.
And it needs to stop on after Friday.
I agree. I think
but
that's
you get,
perfect.
You get till sundown on Friday,
I
and
like
then it.
It
needs to stop.
I like it. We will adhere to those rules. This is guessing lines for week number 12 in the National Football League. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. If you're unfamiliar with this process, I'm unfamiliar with the lines of week 12. I'm going to cocoon. I guess what they are. Kelly will tell me what they are afterwards. Within that process, we hope to extract value. It has been a spectacular process all year long. It has gotten us to winners week after week after week. Week five, I think it was terrible. Every other week, including this past one, were the two games we liked the best here, or at least that I did. Minnesota and Cleveland both got there. It was Plinko at the end for Minnesota for sure, and some might argue for Cleveland. I'd argue in both cases it shouldn't even gotten to a Plinko situation. We'll get into in that whole process. We go through everything that happened yesterday in the NFL as well, and what a day it was. With some of these outcomes, we'll get to it all momentarily on this Thanksgiving week, where we got three games on Thanksgiving, and I know we got a Black Friday game as well. I know that from Circa Survivor. And speaking of Survivor, there were 609 of the original 9,267 entries left, still alive, heading into this past week in Circa Survivor. $1,000 a pop per entry, $9,267,000 at stake. Of those 609, Kelly, almost 40%, 38.92% knocked out, 237 knocked out this past Thursday and Sunday. Really all yesterday. 372 left. 372 players are left. Most yesterday knocked out on the Washington Commodores. If I had them left, I'd have used them too. 372 left. That means 8,895 of the 9,267 eliminated. 95.99% eliminated. 372 left. Last year at this time, there was only 74 left. 98.6% had been eliminated. So 372 left. The intrinsic value of each of those remaining 372 entries is?
You're going to tell me.
$24,911.29.
Do you know how many rebuy opportunities I would need at this point to still be alive?
It'd be two for me.
Okay. I think it would be minimum three. Because this one, for sure. I would have been out on this, too.
I did the Dallas-Detroit thing, and I would have had Dallas yesterday. I got Detroit on Thursday. But the second one is a beautiful thing because the self-loathing goes down to zero.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're so angry, you're so upset with yourself. I wasn't really with Washington because that's how I wanted to play it. But for most, when they lose in a heartbreaking fashion, you're just, it's so brutal. But then when you lose the second time, you're like, oh, it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Yeah, it definitely does mentally help. That's
yes,
for sure.
For sure. So congratulations to the remaining 372, or those that are responsible for those 372. Tony Farmer over there at Odd Shark. And apparently he is using Survivor Atlas for these stats. Of the remaining 372, first of all, he has two of them. But of the remaining 372, Kelly, there are only 41 people that have more than one entry. This gets back again to my philosophy that having multiple entries ultimately doesn't matter. Now people are like, oh, what do you mean? They probably had so many more and they played it and they have was. In the end, everybody has one. Typically speaking. So only 41 of those 372 have more than one. Only 14 of those people have three plus entries. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me do it this way. Let me do it systematically. Six have three left. So what is it? I'll do the math. It's 27 have two. 27 people have two entries. Six have three remaining. Two people have four entries remaining. One person has five entries remaining. Two people have six entries remaining.
What?
One has eight, and two have 10. Only 41 with more than one entry. 27 have two, six have three, two have four, one have five, two have six, one has eight, two have 10. Thank you, Tony Farmer. Thank you, Survivor Atlas, for those numbers.
All right,
Circus Survivor
now I need,
breakdown.
Like, the deep dive, like, poker stack, like, percentage chance of those guys getting home with, I mean, you've got two with 10 left? You have to have a sizable advantage over the field with that.
He also had 16 entries, have no Thanksgiving favorites left. No Miami, Dallas, Detroit, or San Francisco.
Okay.
56% have Detroit available, 24% Dallas, 11% San Francisco, 9% Miami. Thank you for those numbers. Shall we do a Thanksgiving game here before we have to go to commercial?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get the open up and run it. Guessing lines.
Guessing lines.
Week 12, as I check it. Sure,
keeping my DiMaggio-like streak alive of not remembering that we have that open.
It's okay. Hey, that's why I'm here, man. All right, Thursday early, we start with the Lions. Packers at Lions, 12:30 Eastern.
The 4-6 Packers after their win over the Chargers yesterday, the 8-2 Detroit Lions. The Packers yesterday against the Chargers, they win this game. But boy, oh boy, I don't know how they did. 4th and 2 at that midfield, 11:09 left in the first quarter. Green Bay with the ball, 1 yard loss, but Joey Bosa leaves with a foot injury at that point in the game. Chargers end up with a 4th and 4. They do not convert, by the way. 4th and 4 for the Chargers, the Green Bay 43, 9:41 left in the first quarter. They do not convert. Herbert incomplete intended for Parham. Later, it's 3-0 Chargers after a Dicker 25-yard field goal. First play, second quarter, Jaden Reed for 32, 7-3 Green Bay. Chargers go 75 yards, 6 plays. Herbert to Stone Smart for 51, 10-7 Chargers, 12:16 left in the second quarter. It would be 10-10 at halftime after Anders Carlson missed a 52-yard field goal but made a 28-yarder, so 10-10 at the break. Now, here's where the Chargers got chargery. Keenan Allen drops a sure 7-yard touchdown pass. Chargers have to settle for a Dicker 26-yard field goal, 13-10 Chargers. Remember that. After a trade of punts, Green Bay goes 70 yards. Love to Watson from 11. 16-13 Green Bay. Missed Carlson PAT and third quarter. Ensuing drive, maybe the biggest play of the game at the time. Chargers matriculate from their own 25. Second and goal. Eckler tackled by Kenny Clark. Fumbles. Second and goal at the 2. He fumbles. Rashawn Gary recovers after a Green Bay punt. Remember that play. After a Green Bay punt, Chargers go 63 yards. Herbert to Allen for 10, 20-16 Chargers. But then Green Bay goes 75 on the following drive. Love to Dobbs from 24 out. 23-20 Green Bay, 2:33 to go. Chargers 4 and out. But they had all 3 timeouts. Green Bay 3 and out. The Chargers get the ball back with 1:27 to go at their own 20. 3rd and 6 from their own 30. Herbert deep to Quentin Johnston behind the defense on his hands. Drop.
Nope.
And then on 4th and 1 from their own 35, Herbert's pass batted down, ball game. Green Bay wins 23-20. What's that, 3 plays we counted? The Allen drop, the Eckler fumble at the 2, and then the Quentin Johnston drop. Green Bay wins at 23-20. Jordan Love, 27-40 for 322, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. Jaden Reed, 46 on the ground, 46 receiving, get a touchdown on the ground as well. And then there's Detroit. First drive of the game, Chicago was 75 yards. Donta Foreman in from 1-7-0 Chicago. Goff would throw a pick then. Tyreek Stevenson getting it. But didn't lead to anything. Chicago had to punt. But Detroit, second drive. Goff picked again by T.J. Edwards this time on 1st-and-20 at the Chicago 45. 14:38 left second quarter. Then two plays into the Chicago ensuing drive. Fields to Tyler Scott, hit by Cameron Sutton. Fumbles. Alex Anzalone recovers at the Chicago 34. A play after Goff almost throws a pick six. That would have been his third pick of the game. Instead, Gibbs in from 2-7-7, 9:23 left in the second quarter. After a Santos 31-yard field goal made it 10-7 Chicago, Detroit gets the ball at their own 25 with 1:47 left in the half. Goes 75 yards. Goff to St. Brown from 7 out. 14-10 Detroit. Halftime, you're like, okay, Detroit's just going to roll from here. Nope. Third quarter after Detroit punt. Santos, 53-yard field goal, 14-13 Detroit. Then ensuing kick, Craig Reynolds popped, fumble, recovered by DeMarcus Gates at the Detroit. 43 plays later, fills to DJ Moore from 39 out, touchdown, 20-14 Bears. 4:41 left third quarter. Ensuing drive, 3rd-and-6 at their own 46. Goff picked over the middle by Tremaine Edmonds. Goff just reverting to his old self. Chicago short field starting at the Detroit 43. That leads to a Santos 40-yard field goal. 23-14 Chicago, 14-12 to go. Another Detroit 3-and-out. Another Santos field goal. This from 39. 26-14 Chicago now. 4:15 to go. Detroit then, with 4 minutes and 15 seconds left in the game, Kelly, they're down 12. They wake up. Six plays, 75 yards. Goff to Jamison Williams from 32. And just like that, in 1 minute and 20 seconds, it's 26-21 Chicago. Then, of course, a Chicago 3-and-out. Detroit takes over, down 5 with 2:33 to go. 73 yards and 11 plays. None of the plays longer than 13 yards. Sort of a casual matriculation. Montgomery in from 1 with 29 seconds left. Two-point conversion, good. Goff to Laporta, 29-26 Lions. Then Fields sacked by Hutchinson. Ball kicked out of the back of the end zone by Darnell Wright. Hutchinson kicks it to the moon after that. No flag, by the way, which could have come into play. 31-26 Detroit ball game. That was the most stealth, come from behind, wait, what just happened finish that I can remember. Goff, 23 of 35 for 236, two touchdowns, three picks. He was sacked twice. Gibbs, 8 for 36 on the ground with a touchdown, six catches for 59. They were out time of possession, the Lions were, 40 minutes and 24 seconds to 19:36. And they were minus two in turnovers, but it led to only plus one Chicago net point. Green Bay at Detroit to start Thanksgiving. I'll say the Lions by 7. Even touchdown.
Yeah, you are very close. 7.5 right now at DraftKings. I did lay the 7 yesterday.
You did?
Yeah. Small and I might be involving this in teasers. This is, I think you made a great point about this Lions defense becoming a little shaky, you know, now kind of towards middle of the season. You brought that up last week. You don't trust them as much. Hear you on that. I still think this Packers team is pretty terrible.
Packers shouldn't have won yesterday. I don't know how the Lions did. Lions are nothing there for me. Doesn't leap off the page. More of this. More Guessing Lines. Week 12 next. Numbers Game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't become a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, now's your best chance to sign up and save. Sign up on our Black Friday special today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $60. That's $60. Sign up today, get access to daily best bets, unlimited access to our exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus all our betting guides and best bets for the upcoming College Bowls, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss our best new subscriber offer of the year. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our Black Black Friday special now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin guessing lines for week number 12 in the National Football League. As we roll in here, the music is blaring at the D. And this morning, they were playing Bob Seger's We Got Tonight, which I have annoyingly been singing now in between every segment, every chance I get. And Kelly wants it out of his head, so I'm just going to do it for the rest of the show.
Only Night Moves. That's the only song loud. Okay, by Seger.
And we figured out, because we're geniuses, that it's the D. Derek Stevens is from Detroit, and they're playing a lot of Bob Seger. I think we're
reading too much into it.
Maybe.
Because otherwise we're missing some great kid rock around here.
They show enough play a lot of Bob Seger in here, though, I'll tell you that much. F1, I have to get all this in on this show. I know we have to guess lines, but I have to get all this in. F1, the Formula One race here, on Saturday night. We're going to compartmentalize. There's two conversations to be had. Let's talk about the race itself. First of all, let's flash up a picture. This was my vantage point. This is on the roof of my building, watching the race. Glorious Las Vegas, Nevada. Let me just say this.
And better than you were expecting, right?
Well, I mean, I know what my view is. But the fact that we got to see where my vantage point is the corner of the strip in Harmon. For those who are unfamiliar with the street names, it's right where the Cosmo and the Aria, the street right in between the Cosmo and the Aria, perpendicular to the Las Vegas Strip. So they're coming down that picture. They're coming down the strip at 240 miles an hour. And my vantage point was perfect because I'd see them at 240, then I'd see them have to slow down, right? We got them where they had to slow down and make not quite a 90-degree left turn.
Yeah.
But enough so that I sound like my dad was like, what do you mean they throw the baseball 100 miles an hour? I couldn't believe like these cars are able to stop so smoothly like that and turn. But we got to see where, you know, Leclerc passed Verstappen the first time perfectly. And I had a bunch of F1 hardos up on the roof with me, and they had their TVs, and they were giving me all the play-by-play. So it gave great context to it. So let me just say this. The race itself, that period of time when the race was happening was gorgeous. Las Vegas, Nevada never looked more beautiful. That was the best sort of advertisement for this city that there could ever be. And let me just say the part that I watched on TV, too, from Sky Sports. Sky Sports did a phenomenal job televising this. And American sports media that does golf broadcasts could learn a lesson from them, because they didn't just focus on the leaders. They focused on everybody. Oh, here's someone passing, you know, for eighth place. So they did such a great job of that. In golf, we see with every tournament, it just, wait, why aren't you showing so-and-so who's in third place? Can we see one, you know? And so there was a lesson to be learned from that. But Las Vegas never looked more beautiful. The race was awesome. It was electric that night. Like, the whole thing was surreal. Like, I can't believe they pulled this off. And so in that respect, you got to give them props for that. However, everything else that we endured for this, right, the 6 months of construction, the arrogance of security, the weekend, the fact that every square inch in this town was monetized, probably some politician was greased and nobody has the courage to do an investigation on it. It's a 10-year contract, but I will tell you this, what it's going to come down to. They're just going to look at the economics. Did the strip make more money than it otherwise would have? And all the indications, by the way, are that it might not have.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. We'll see how this goes down.
I mean, the only day I got remotely close down there was Thursday night.
Yeah.
And I was a little, I don't want to say I was shocked, because I knew it was Thursday. I knew it still wasn't like Friday, Saturday, but crowds were light around the Great Caesar's Palace.
It was pretty darn cool on Saturday night, man. It was. I mean,
I saw all of 10 minutes.
Like the fact that it happened, like it's surreal that they pulled this off.
It was incredible. That part is, but I mean, it's not as surreal when we've been sitting through it for 7 months or whatever.
People who have been here long enough say it was worse than that NBA All-Star weekend. The 6 months of this was worse than that famous NBA All-Star weekend. Let's do another Thanksgiving game.
All right, next up, we got the Commanders at the Cowboys.
Oh, the Commodes. 4-7 Washington Commodes against the Dallas Cowboys, who are 7-3. What a traditional Thanksgiving matchup this is. Detroit and Dallas, obviously, with home games traditionally on Thanksgiving each and every year. Washington loses to the Giants. I do not know how this happened. First drive of the game, they sack Tommy DeVito twice, but which would be a portent of things to come. But then Howell was picked his first drive deep by Nick McLeod. they would sack. Washington would sack DeVito five times in the first quarter, the most in a first quarter by any team of an opposing quarterback since 2006. After Giants three and out, Skin second play on the drive, howl to Logan Thomas, hit by Micah McFadden, Xavier McKinney recovers at the Washington 47. That led to a short field and DeVito to Saquon, 24-yard touchdown pass, 7-0 Giants, 6:29 left in the first quarter. The one guy that can beat you. They couldn't stop him. After a sly 23-yard field goal to make it 7-3, and after a trade of punts, Giants 4th-and-2 at the Washington 34, 10-18 left second quarter, incomplete pass. But after the skin, after Washington 3-and-out, Giants go 62 yards. DeVito to Darius Slayton for 40, 14-3 Gigantes. Washington then goes 75 yards. Howell in from 8 in a on a play where he was like a pinball, knocking off players, ended up on the ground. Flags were thrown, 14-9, because Sly misses the PAT. That would be the halftime score. Opening kickoff, second half, Byron Pringle fumbles for Washington. Javarius Owens recovers the Washington 34. But the Giants go backwards on the 7th and 8th sacks of DeVito of the game. Skins then matriculate. Sly from 42, 14-12. Giants, maybe Washington could pull this off. After another 3-and-out for the Giants, punctuated by the 9th sack of DeVito, Washington has 1st and 10 at the Giants 35 with 51 seconds left in the third quarter. And Chris Rodriguez Jr. is hit by Xavier McKinney, recovered by Micah McFadden. The turnovers, one after another. That would lead to a Giants 67-yard drive. Saquon for 36 to start it. DeVito to Saquon from 5 out to end it. 21-12, Giants 13-32 left. Howell then picked by Darnay Holmes when he just threw it up for grabs. Led to a Bullock 36-yard field goal, 24-12 Giants, 6:48 to go. Washington would then go 75 yards. Howell to Dotson for 8, 24-19 Giants. Then after a Giants 3-and-out, Washington down 5 with the ball at their own 19, 1:49 to go. They can do this, Kelly. They get it to 1st and 15 at the Giants 48. Howell trying to throw it away instead. Picked by Isaiah Simmons to pay dirt to the hizzy. 31-19 Giants ball game. Howell 31 of 45 for 255. One touchdown, three picks, sacked four times, three carries for 35 and a touchdown. They outgained the Giants. Washington did 403 to 292. They out first downed them 28-13, but they were minus 6. Let me repeat that. Minus 6 in turnovers. 6 turnovers for Washington, none for the Giants, which led to plus 24 Giants net points. You ain't winning Survivor. You ain't winning any football game going minus 6.
Yeah.
And yet they had a chance to at the end. Well, they were minus 5 at the time when they had a chance to. And then there's Dallas. Oh, Dallas.
By the way, Isaiah Simmons also continues his, like, once a year, you're like, oh, yeah, this guy could be a really good football player.
Right. Well, he really could be. No wonder he was drafted the way he was drafted. Out of Clemson. Dallas, after teams traded, Dallas beat Carolina. After the teams traded punts, Dallas went 83 yards. Dak to Luke Schoonmaker from 18 out, 7-0 Dallas, 3:20 left first quarter. 10-3 over Carolina now. Dallas takes over their own 40 with 1:56 left in the second quarter. They go 60 yards on the strength of 2. Carolina unnecessary roughness calls. Dak to CeeDee Lamb from 5 out, 17-3 Dallas at the half, and you're like, oh, the route is on. Not so fast, though. Third quarter after a trade of punts, Carolina went 90 yards on 17 plays. 90 on 17. During which the Panthers converted a 4th and 2 at their own 49, and a 4th and 7. It was a 4th and 7 until Dallas ran into the kicker. Then Bryce to Thielen for 16 to convert that. Then a 4th and 3 at the Dallas 28. Young to Thielen for 3, and then a 4th and 1 at the Dallas 16. Miles Sanders for 3. 3 plays later, Young to Tremble from 4 out. 17-10 Dallas. 1:59 left in the third quarter, and you're like, oh, Carolina might cover this. They might be in this game. Nope. Dallas then goes 75 yards. Pollard from 21, 24-10 Dallas. The first play of the ensuing drive, Bryce picked by Deron Bland. How many times have we said that this year? Said this this year. 31 yards to the house, 30-10, 13:48 to go. I'll tell you how many times. 4. Bland's 4th pick 6 of the year. His 4th, tying the record for the most in a season. And at that point, he had 7-plus games left of football to break it. He's got 7 games left to do it. They'd win at 33-10. No use to continue. Dak, 25 of 38 for 189. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was not sacked. And Dallas held Carolina to 13 first downs, just 187 total yards. Remember, 90 on that one drive. And Dallas was plus 2 in turnovers. That led to 10 Dallas net points. Washington at Dallas, second game on Thanksgiving. I will split the difference between the 7 and the 10. I will say the Cowboys by 8.5.
You off. It is up to 11. Cowboys. Whoa. 11. Was, I think this opened like 10.5 yesterday is where it was at, and then we're up to 11 now. Remember we used to talk about a bunch at the beginning of the season, how shocked I was. All these big favorites, there always be this dog money initially. feels like the past few weeks that started to flip. And we're back to the big favorites, get money early.
Do I really want to take Washington?
Oh, you know you do. It's Thanksgiving.
Oh, no. I thought I was going to enjoy my Thanksgiving. Now I've got to sweat it. Do I really want to take them in a contest, let alone a bet? Oh, no. One more Thanksgiving, one more Black Friday game to get to. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate all the feedback from everybody. Best listeners in the game. Angriest guy in Kentucky, Kelly. Please do me a favor. Do not mention Taylor Swift this morning. Help keep me out of the penitentiary. And then he writes about 7 more tweets about this very subject. I think we just did mention Taylor Swift, didn't we? Israel Negron, he says, any chance you can have that Formula One guy back on before this weekend's race? He was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Phil Bobbitt?
Phil Bobbitt
was incredible with his Formula One picks. He was tremendous. Good on him.
Yeah, Buddhist man, get at us. I think he was tracking them all, but it was like, I mean, I think 5 or 6 dogs that he hit it. Like,
he was killing it.
We're talking anywhere from like.
But they seriously moved from the time he was on to race time.
Oh, well, some of those would have based off of the qualifying stuff.
Yes.
So, like, he hit on some of the qualifiers, right, and then the odds would move after that.
Tom F, T43, is there any chance Jack Del Rio still has a job at the end of a numbers game after that little dust-up yesterday? threw in a little politics in that tweet. See what he did there? Okay, Web 12-66, angriest guy in Kentucky. Okay, all right, okay. This is from Jesse Welch. Wouldn't be guessing lines Monday without Gil railroading through that open. This is so true. This is also about the open. Buddhist man, it's truly amazing that Gil continues to forget about the guessing lines opening with the live band sitting right next to him every week. True pros. Kevin Ryan.
Hey, he gets really excited to do guessing lines.
I really am. And Kevin Ryan, after surviving using Detroit in multiple teasers, I was holding Vikings +2.5 and under 42.5. Thank God I passed out drunk and missed the failed 2-point Broncos try. My heart can only take so much. Oh, we will get to that for sure. By the way, the Megapod. I am on a, are you ready for this? 16-1 against the spread run. 16-1.
Look at you.
Now here's with Kansas City pending tonight. But here's the thing. So the Megapod, it's 3 plays a week for all of us.
Yeah.
Me, Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and our guest. This week it was Cleve T.A.
Amazing how it's easier than 5, huh?
16-1. So just killing it. But when you get in the contest and you have to do a 4th and a 5th, I drop off a cliff. So you know how hard it is to get to 5. So you know my 4th and 5th were this last week? Carolina and Miami. So like I only went 2-2 in the contest pending tonight's game.
I don't know. If you had told me the Raiders scored 13 points against the Dolphins,
we'll get to that.
I would have laid so much money on that game. It's incredible. But yes, I'm sure there's no buyer's remorse, bettor's remorse going on in my brain when I say this, Gil. But the 5th pick, I feel like my all-time record in that is roughly like 6-172.
That's right. That's right. Okay, we're way behind on these games. By the way, do you have any play? I have Kansas City in the contest. I have Kansas City in a bet tonight, -2.5. I think Andy Reid, 21-3 straight up after a bye. Everybody knows the stats. 21-3 straight up after a bye. I think Philadelphia has gotten away with some wins against Washington, against Dallas as well. I think this is where the magic carpet ride ends for Philly.
Yeah,
and I think Jalen Hurts is hurt, by the way.
I'm with you. I'm really interested to see that. I mean, he's been on my list for a while now. Apparently that sleeve did come off the knee this week, so we'll see what he looks like. I did lay the points for a bet, not huge, but it played it as a bet this week, and then also in the contest where we're what, both 2-2 with that pending.
Yeah.
So
all right, let's get one more here. Thanksgiving.
All right, the late Thanksgiving game, 49ers at Seahawks.
7-3 Niners after their win yesterday. 6-4 Seahawks after their loss. This is a big game in the NFC West. Niners, they win yesterday. They beat the Bucks after teams trade punts. San Francisco goes 80 yards. Purdy to McCaffrey from four out. 7-0 Niners, 3:55 left first quarter. Tampa Bay, 1st and 5 at the San Francisco 33. Mayfield hit by Fred Warner. Fumbles. Cleveland Farrell recovers. Leads to a Jake Moody 37-yard field goal. 10-0 Niners. Then Tampa goes 75 yards. Mayfield to Evans from one out. 10-7 Niners. Moody added a field goal. 13-7 Niners at the half. Third quarter after a Tampa Bay punt. San Francisco goes 98 yards in three plays. Purdy to Ayuk for 76, 20-7 Niners. After a Tampa punt, San Francisco goes 79 yards. Purdy to Kittle from three out, 27-7 Niners. The route was on, it seemed, 1:42 left third quarter. Remember, the spread's about 11.5 here. Tampa Bay goes 75 yards. Brilliantly play called after Talanoa Hufanga left the game. Mayfield to Rakeem Jarrett for 41. He beat Jair Brown, who was in because Hufanga was out. Then a 22-yard PI on Warner. Rashad White in from one. 27-14 Niners. 14-11 left in the game. San Francisco 3-and-out. That followed by Tampa Bay matriculating, trying to get the cover here. They convert a 4th and 5 at the San Francisco 29 with 7:50 to go. Mayfield to Evans for 11, but they fail on 4th and 4 at the 12. With 6:45 to go. So Niners backers get a reprieve right there. Mayfield incomplete, intended for Evans. San Francisco 3-and-out, though, followed by a Devin Tompkins 51-yard punt return for Tampa Bay. They're set up at the San Francisco 13. Spread in doubt again. 3rd and 6 at the Niners 9. Baker picked off. Deflection off of Drake Greenlaw's helmet in the end zone by Jair Brown. 3:38 to go. San Francisco backers would survive one more last gasp by Tampa Bay. 27-14 ball game. Purdy, 21 of 25 for 333. 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 4 times. A 158.3 passer rating. That is perfect. It is only the 2nd Niners quarterback ever to get that. The other, Joe Montana in 1989.
He was pretty good.
1989, a little public enemy. McCaffrey, 21 of 78 on the ground, 21-478 on the ground. 5 catches for 25 yards and a touchdown. Ayuk, 5 for 156 and a touchdown. Kittle, 8 for 89 and a touchdown. A 420 to 287 total yards advantage for the Niners. They were plus 2 in turnovers, but that led to only plus 3 San Francisco net points. But they really may have also prevented a key 7 for the cover, of course, there at the end. I will just say this again about Brock Purdy because I haven't in a few weeks. It's really since the Niners, you know, went out to that amazing start. I don't believe people appreciate Brock Purdy. I hope that this perfect game, and by the way, his passer rating average for the last 2 games is almost perfect. I hope people start to now appreciate him for the player that he is. And, you know, I had that offensive player of the year bet on him. I think I'm betting him MVP because nobody else has really shined in that MVP race. You know, with the exception of a guy like Mahomes who can come out and be brilliant again tonight, you're like, well, he's clearly the MVP. But Purdy, to me, he is unappreciated. Everybody says, oh, it's because he's surrounded by these great players. I don't believe that's the case. Pardon me. I think he's really, really good at football. And he's so quick with his progressions. He sees the field so well, as so many famous Niners quarterbacks from the past have. And we said that earlier in the year a lot about Purdy. I think I want to bring Ethan Strauss on the show because he has a Purdy rant he wants to do also. Who they play? Seattle. Seattle and the Rams. Oh, my God. After the Rams 3-and-out, Seattle goes 88 yards. Geno to DK Metcalf from 8, 7-0 Seattle. 5:20 left first quarter. Rams, aided by 69 yards of penalties, get to 1st and goal at the 5. And here's Sean McVay's brilliant play calling. Royce Freeman, rush on 1st. Royce Freeman on 2nd rush. Royce Freeman on 3rd rush. Then 4th and goal at the 2. Stafford incomplete, intended for Atwell. Myers, 54-yard field goal, made it 10-0 Seattle, followed by another Rams 3-and-out. Myers, 43-yard field goal, 13-0 Seattle. Then the Rams go 75 yards. Cup hurt at this point. Stafford to Nacua. First target of the game for Puka Nacua. Touchdown. 13-7 Seattle. 9 seconds left. That's actually the halftime score. Okay, third quarter. Trade 3-and-outs. Myers, 52-yard field goal, makes it 16-7 Seattle. Teams trade punts twice. Geno getting knocked out of the game in the process with an elbow injury. Stafford will also get picked by Reek Woolen, though, but Seattle will get stopped on a 3-and-out. So Rams then go 68 yards, Daryl Henderson in from 1, to make it 16-14 Seattle. That featured a horrible PI in the end zone. I believe it was Woolen, or was it Witherspoon? covering Nacua. Nacua just tripped over his own 2 feet, I think. Then Locke, Drew Locke's in the game. He's picked by Darion Kendrick. So keep in mind, the Rams are down two at this point, and Kendrick makes a pick in Seattle territory. But Kendrick docked, excuse me, it wasn't quite in Seattle territory because it's downfield. But Kendrick docked 15 yards for talking smack to the Seahawks bench. So the Rams actually start back at their 21. It was further down the field than I remembered. No problem. Nacua to the rescue. 32 to start the drive. Nacua for 10, 6 plays later. Nacua rushes for 7 in the first, 3 plays later. But then first and goal at the 7. This is with them down 2 late in the game for the Rams. Here's what Sean McVay drums up. Rush on first down. Then a pass intended for Nacua. Then a little hitch pass to Henderson that has zero chance of getting in the end zone. So they have to settle for a Lucas Haversick 22-yard field goal. 17-16 Rams, 1:31 to go. Geno back in, no timeout. They get it to 3rd and 8 at their own 40. Geno to Metcalf for 21. Then instead of a spike at the Rams 39, Pete Carroll says, Sean McVay, hold my beer. They choose to run with 23 seconds left. What are you doing? Charbonnet for 2, followed by a spike. They should have spiked it first and had a pass play and spiked it again if they needed to. Myers, they settle for a 55-yard field goal try, and of course it leaks right. No good. As good as Myers is, it's still 55 yards. And the Rams win 17-16. They sweep the season series versus Seattle. Only 408 total yards of offense combined in this game. These coaches are absolutely... I know people like to crush other coaches. If you watch football week to week every play, Kelly, Sean McVay is consistently the worst coach in the NFL. I'm serious. You can crush other coaches. He's so bad week to week. San Francisco -6 on the road. At Seattle. 7? Seven.
Yep, up to 7. That was moving on.
Yeah, it's probably better than 6.
Both those guys were terrible.
But McVay is every week. I know people think it's my Nacua bet. It's not. He's terrible. Black Friday game next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. I don't want to gloss over some of the things we've already talked about this hour, and I realize we've got a lot more games to get to. But Deron Bland, again, I mentioned with the Cowboys, 4 pick-sixes already this year. That matches the record. 4 other guys have done it. 3 other guys or 4? I think it's 4 other guys have done it. 7 games left to break that. Should Deron Bland get Defensive Player of the Year consideration? Mike Greenberg, let's give credit where it's due. Mike Greenberg at ESPN, he's a Jets fan, was talking about how Deron Bland has more touchdowns than the combined touchdowns of Jets wide receivers this year, 4-3. What are some of the other names of wide receivers who don't have 4 touchdowns throughout the league?
Other names, DK Metcalf, T. Higgins, Jalen Waddle, Christian Kirk, Michael Pittman Jr., Chris Olave, just a few of the ones that I wrote down, that he has more touchdowns than. And then, of course, again, the entire Jets wide receiving core combined.
It's amazing.
And that is 2 for Wilson and 1 for Lazard. That's it on that team. That is it. He is down to 75-1 to win.
75
I say down, and not like I knew where he was 2 days ago.
Honestly, is that worth, I mean, like, if he gets 1 more.
No, I think you got to think of it, if he gets 2 more.
2 more?
If he gets 2 more.
Oh, I thought you had something. You're like,
No.
2 more.
Like, then is he's not just 1 above the record. Like, he is 2
he
above the record.
He will have shattered it at that point.
Kind of. He would have kind of shattered it at that point.
We get tweets at Biddy.
He has to be a part of the conversation then.
Of course he does. NC195 Gambler at MX Square Better says, oh, man, can't wait for that Patriots-Giants game, Gil. It'll be a nail-biter with a final of 14-10. I mean, DeVito versus Jones. Who doesn't get excited for that? Oh, God. What's that line going to be? 01TK1, Tom K. First week betting in Florida observations. Pretty consistent 10-cent lines. Don't want to cross key numbers and get middled. Instead, employ heavy juice. Decent prop selection, but not like big multi-state operations. Well, thank you for that review. That was pretty thorough.
That was pretty good.
I know a guy who won $600,000 betting blackjack in Florida.
Oh, really?
Over the weekend. Getting murdered by people. Jason H11, don't do it, Gilly. Don't bet the Commanders. That would absolutely ruin your Thanksgiving watching Cowboys jump into the Salvation Army bin while inflatable Raft Ron looks on dumbfounded. You're right. I don't know that I can, even though I think that line is high. This is a contest, which I'm kind of in. So I don't want to mess with it. Jed O'Connor, short week, so no firings. But what's the best odds Ron Rivera, next head coach, axed? Can't imagine he gets to spend Thanksgiving thankful he's employed. They're so bad. If your record against the Daboll Giants is 3-0-1 these last two seasons, and yes, I'm including last year because the Giants were smoke and mirrors, and the fact that Daboll won Coach of the Year, I'll go to my grave saying, was complete malarkey, to use someone else's term. But the fact that the Giants sweep you is just reason enough. Sky high. What's Birdie's itch rating this year, I wonder? Not as bad as last year. Last year he was throwing itch, by the way, is our Megapod word for interceptions that should have happened. Sumner Hutchinson, great rundown on the Rams game. Rams money line, never in doubt. And Larry Fresh, who just stopped by and said hello. He said, had to stop by and say hi, but I forgot to say thank you for all the content and laughs. Oh, man, thank you so much. Please, everybody, come by when you get a chance here to the lovely Bar Canada, the D, here in downtown Las Vegas. All right, Black Friday game, what do we got?
Dolphins at the Jets.
7-3 Dolphins, the 4-6 Jets. Has the Aaron Rodgers coming back, buzz died yet? Or no, are people still betting this yes?
No, not at all.
Because Aaron Rodgers keeps saying he's coming back no matter what now? No.
I don't know. I think he still put the preface on it that they have to be in playoff
contention. They're not going to be in playoff contention. Miami beats the Raiders, but they don't cover, much of the chagrin of many. After a Vegas punt to start the game, third play for Miami, Tua rushes forward, hit by Luke Masterson, fumbles recovered by Marcus Epps on review, leads to Carlson, 34-yard field goal, that's Daniel Carlson in this case, 3-0 Las Vegas. Miami then goes 75 yards, Tua to Tyreek, for 38, touchdown, 7-3 Miami, 2:03 left in the first quarter. At this point, you're like, okay, here comes Miami, they're going to roll them. They're bullies, right? Not tonight. Not today in this game. Vegas comes right back. 75 yards. O'Connell to Devontae swing for 46. 10-7 Las Vegas. 1 second left in the first quarter. Miami 4th-and-1 at the Vegas 3. 2 to Tyreek. They lose 4 yards. That's when you kind of knew. 9:08 left in the second quarter. After a Las Vegas 3-and-out, Reek and A-Chain out with injuries. Miami, Reek's was temporary. Miami goes 63 yards. 2 to Salvon Ahmed from 11 out. 14-10 Miami. 2:28 left second quarter. After a Las Vegas punt, 1:03 left in the half. 2 to Julian Hill, hit by Divine Diablo, fumbles. Diablo recovers to the Miami 32 with 58 seconds left. That led to a Carlson 47-yard field goal. 14-13 Miami. Miami just could not get away from the Raiders on the scoreboard. Third quarter, first play of the half, 2 a pick deep by Isaiah Polamau. Las Vegas, though, with a 3-and-out after that. Sanders did get a 41-yard field goal, 17-13 Miami, 5:26 left in the third quarter. And then after a Las Vegas 3-and-out, Sanders a 51-yard field goal to make it 20-13 Miami with 25 seconds left in the third quarter. And you're like, okay, one more score, Miami's going to cover this. One more touchdown. The teams trade punts. Las Vegas matriculates. But 4th-and-3 at the Miami 31, O'Connell then incomplete deep. So Miami gets the ball back, and you're like, they're going to do it. But they have a 3-and-out. Wait, what happened to this team? The injuries. No, not the injuries. They just weren't getting it. Give Las Vegas some credit. 4th-and-6 for Las Vegas at the Miami 24. They're trying to tie the game. Forget the cover. O'Connell picked at point blank range by Jalen Phillips. One more Miami punt. Las Vegas gets it again. They get it to 2nd-and-10 at the Miami 39 with 32 seconds to go. O'Connell picked in the end zone by Jalen Ramsey. Ball game. 20-13 Dolphins. They win, but once again, do not cover. Tua, 28-for-39 for 325. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked once. He did lose a fumble. Tyreek, 11 targets, 10 catches for 146 and a touchdown. I mean, come on. This dude is the real MVP.
It's incredible.
He is the real MVP. Yes, full disclosure, I have an MVP ticket.
Hurt his hand, right? Left the game with hand injury.
That's happened a couple times this year where he's left and come back.
Said it would be fine after the game. He was just upset it was going to eat into his video game time this week.
That dude is going to get 2,000 yards. He is. 422-296 total yards advantage for the Dolphins, 21-12 in first. Who are they playing? The Jets. Boy, Black Friday. The Jets, Robert Saleh talking about benching Zach Wilson now? Let's get to this game. They just get destroyed by Buffalo. Opening kickoff, Xavier Gibson hit, fumbles, recovered by Quentin Morris. Jets do force a three and out because the Bills go backwards after a Quinnen Williams sack of Allen, but Bass 48-yard field goal, 3-0 Buffalo. After a Jets punt, Bass 30-yard field goal, 6-0. After another Jets punt, Bass 33-yard field goal, 9-0. After a Jets three and out, Buffalo punt. Wilson, second and 10 at his own 27, picked by Rasul Douglas. Buffalo set up at the Jets 24, five plays. Allen to James Cook from five out, 16-0 Buffalo. The route was on. Jets, looks like a three and out. Fourth and two at their own 24, 2 minutes left in the half, but a fake Thomas Morstead to Brandon Echols for 18. Then fourth and two at the 50, Wilson to Breece for 15 on a play where the Bills medical staff went to tend to Taron Johnson, but quickly realized Taylor Rapp needed immediate attention, taken away in an ambulance. Boy, oh boy, the memories of that in Buffalo. I mean Rodgers before that, but obviously DeMar Hamlin last year. It's just incredible. Jets would eventually score on a Wilson. Not comparing the two, by the way, but just that field has, or that stadium has had a lot of bad things happen there. Jets would eventually score on a Wilson to Hall 9-yard touchdown pass, 2-point conversion failed. 16-6 Jets at the half. 16-6 Buffalo at the half. Third quarter, Buffalo goes 75 yards. Allen to Ty Johnson from 28 out on a fourth and one, 22-6 Buffalo. Bass misses the PAT after a Jets punt. Allen to Khalil Shakir for 81, 29-6. 6:29 left third quarter. The competitive portion of the ball game was over. Buffalo would win it 32-6. Wilson, Zach, that is, 7 for 15. He completed 7 forward passes for 81 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was sacked 5 times. Tim Boyle would come in late and throw a pick as well. Buffalo had a 393 to 155 total yards advantage. They were plus 3 in turnovers. The Jets had 4. Buffalo had 1. That led to plus 10 net Buffalo points. This is Miami at the Jets. I'll say Miami minus 6. We do not know, apparently, who the Jets quarterback will be. Not that it matters. Miami this minus 6 on the road.
Opened 7 most places up to 8.
Ooh, I'm low.
Our man Jonathan right here at the Circus Sportsbook desk, he walked into the D this morning. He said, no, that's way too low. We're bringing it up to 9 here at Circa. So Circa's posting 9 on this game.
No respect for the Jets D. Because the Jets have been the same thing every week all year, right? Solid D that is completely torpedoed by their inept offense. And the fact that the Jets would be so loyal to Zach Wilson this entire time, and now that they're 4-6 and basically donezo, I get it, they're not completely donezo, but 4-6, you've let this fester for so long, and now you're going to make a change at quarterback? What sense does any of this make?
I can't defend it. I mean, you had all the opportunities in the world to go out and try to bring in something, someone.
But just like with Washington, do I want to bet the Jets catching on? This is horrible. I was hoping that with the contest, I could like leisurely sit through a Thanksgiving contest pick and a bet and a Friday. Instead, you're telling me, no, to do that, I would have to take the Commanders and the Jets? No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to ruin my week. So we've gotten to that point where the value's on the suckitude. Wonderful. Whole bunch more to get to. Guessing lines.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly allowed for a happy Thanksgiving to be uttered for the first time this morning. Mm-hmm. We talked it out. Monday through Friday, we're allowed to say happy Thanksgiving.
Yep,
so happy
Friday.
Thanksgiving to you and yours. If you're traveling, safe travels, be safe. If you're navigating either the roads or the airports, good God, I hated navigating airports
God bless this week.
Yeah, God bless you if you're doing that. Getting back to loved ones. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, by the way, one of the more underrated movies of my childhood.
That is a great movie. That's a great movie.
What a great one. Steve Martin and John Candy. We have a lot to get to here. This is that the first hour set the record in guessing lines history. Do you know for what?
The fewest
amount of games we've ever gotten.
Which means the second hour will also set a record.
That's right. Not before
because we don't have any buys this week, right?
We don't have any bye.
Yeah, so this will.
We literally described 8 different games there, so this should go quicker. Tom Steffen, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Tom Steffen, while kickers now regularly hit 50-plus yard field goals, talking about Jason Myers with the Seahawks, it's far from the chip shot. Coaches seem to think it is based on their play calling and key moments of the game. You see it every week. I'm with
totally,
you, Tom.
Absolutely, 100%.
That's what I said at the end of that recap. I'm like, you know, Jason Myers is a great kicker. He's a great kicker. But you can't count on 55 outdoors.
And this has been, like, I've noticed this probably 5 times this year, too, where they're playing end-of-game situations. You're like, you could really use, like, 5 or 10 more yards here. Like, what are you doing?
And I know we had to get a commercial, so I said it quickly. Sean McVay's the worst coach. Week after week for the Rams. Now, I'm talking about the Rams now. People love, they love crushing Brandon Staley. Brandon Staley, because they do that whole, like, locker room, give him a noogie thing in the locker. People like to treat a nerd like Brandon Staley like that, or any other coach. Rivera's terrible. I get it. There's a lot of bad coaches. But if you watch football on a week-to-week basis, no one does more to undermine his team than Sean McVay does play calling. The constant running on first down and second and third. Like, it's just, it's horrible. And then Pete Carroll did something so bad that it made you forget all about it.
It really did. Can I have Brandon Staley's back real quick for a second?
Yeah.
I actually have a little respect for, I know he was flipping out post-game yesterday because people keep asking him about taking away the play
he
calling,
got a little
right?
Upset. Yeah.
You know what? I'm okay with Brandon Staley is just as aware as the rest of us that he is probably on the hot seat or the hottest seat of all time. I am very okay if you're like, hey, look, if I'm going to get fired, I'm going down doing it my way. Yeah. I'm very okay with that, actually.
He's also not Quentin Johnston dropping that pass. He's also not Keenan Allen dropping a touchdown pass. He's also not Austin Eckler fumbling at the 2. Mike Stacks, the feeling of possibly losing your last Survivor entry is so gut-wrenching. It seems like there's no good way to lose. 9 more weeks of stress coming up. Good luck to you, Mike Stacks. And Grayson Rossi, of course, Kelly would say he needs to go 2 above the record. Talking about Deron Bland. Remember, Mechie coming back from cancer and only catching 7 passes wasn't enough.
You really got to impress me, okay?
All right, we got games to get to. What do we got? We'll be more tweets
Saints
coming up.
At Falcons. We are on to Sunday early window.
Saints at Falcons. NFC South clash. We going to get Ritter or are we going to get Heinicke here for the Falcons? Do we know?
Sounds like Ritter, right?
Sounds like Ritter. Both teams coming off a bye. 5-5 Saints, 4-6 Atlanta. Nothing to say about either game because there wasn't one for either. I will say the Saints as 2.5-point road favorites, not quite 3.
Yeah, I don't think that was official from the team, but that was an ESPN report that they will be going back to Ritter. What was your guess?
2.5 Saints on the road at -2.5.
Falcons, 1-point favorite currently at DraftKings.
Oh, wow.
More that Falcons love me and you haven't understood all season.
Yeah. Again, though, like, am I racing?
Oh, this even took money from this morning when I punched it in. So
oh, wait.
This was Saints
coming
one
my way now.
A few hours ago. Now it's Falcons one.
Oh, okay. So it's, so
it's going further
it's drifting,
away from you.
Drifting from me. Does this make me want to take the Saints?
I would absolutely tease up the Saints. If that hits a 1.5,
oh,
I will
God,
the Saints
yes.
in a teaser for sure this week.
For sure.
I've already got that written down.
Do I want to make it as a bet or as a contest pick? And yes, I'm concerned about contest pick because everyone counts big now with 36, including tonight's game left. Okay. You file Washington, the Jets, and the Saints in all the same category. I know that Saints fans will be like, how can you put us with – I'm not saying just for this – for racing to bet them. Next.
Steelers at Bengals.
All right. The 6-4 Steelers at the 5-5 Bengals. Bengals with extra week coming off the Thursday night defeat at the hands of the Ravens. And, of course, no Joe Burrow. It's going to be Jake Browning. Pittsburgh yesterday loses to the Browns 13-10. After a Cleveland punt and a Pittsburgh 3-and-out, Cleveland 7-play 50-yard drive. Jerome Ford in from 1, 7-0 Cleveland. And you figure Cleveland's going to roll. At least I did, because I had Cleveland. 4:35 left first quarter. Hopkins would add a chip shot 25-yard field goal before the end of the half. 10-0 Cleveland at the break. They're controlling the football game. And then, by the way, Pittsburgh in the first half. Punt, 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 end of half. Is that good?
Great offense.
Pickett in the first half was 5-of-8 for 34 yards. No touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. Steelers were out first downed 13-4, and they were out gained in total yards 163-64. But then the third quarter comes around. Second play of the half, Jaylen Warren for 74, 10-7 Cleveland, and all of a sudden, just like that, I'm like, oh, no. This, you got to be kidding me. And in my head, I'm like, Mike Tomlin's got Cleveland right where he wants him. This cannot happen. Cleveland converts a 4th-and-1, but they have to punt on the next drive. Pittsburgh then 3-and-out. Cleveland 3-and-out. Pittsburgh converts a 4th-and-1 at their own 29, but they punt. Then 3rd-and-15 for Cleveland at the Pittsburgh 36. 1:35 left in the third quarter. DTR picked off. Deflection by Shannon Sullivan, but another Pittsburgh 3-and-out, followed by a 20-yard punt by Presley Harvin. I'm like, all right, this is where Cleveland's going to take advantage. But nope, Cleveland 3-and-out to end the third quarter. Oh, God. 10-7 still. Pittsburgh then matriculates. Boswell, 28-yard field goal. It's 10-10 with 7:40 to go. I'm a Cleveland backer. I'm like, this cannot be happening. Pittsburgh cannot be 7-3 after this. Cannot lose this. Then a Cleveland 3-and-out. Corey Bohorquez, 25-yard punt for the Browns. Pittsburgh starts at their own 48 with 5:47 to go in a tie game. But they're forced to punt nonetheless. Oh, thank goodness for Cleveland backers. Cleveland then has to punt. Pittsburgh gets it back with 1:42 to go at their own 30. 3-and-out, though. 0 yards gain. Cleveland then gets it back at their own 35 with 1:18 to go. And all of a sudden, Dorian Thompson-Robinson wakes up. DTR to Elijah Moore for 15, to Kareem Hunt for 5, to Amari Cooper for 8. They're at the Pittsburgh 37 with 48 seconds to go. To David Njoku for 11. Kareem Hunt then a 2-yard gain. Pittsburgh's D causes Cleveland offensive lineman to react. 5 more yards. Hunt for 2. And 2 plays later, Dustin Hopkins, 34-yard field goal. Good. Browns win at 13-10. Whew. That was a disgusting football game. Pickett, 15 for 28 for 106. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. Jaylen Warren, 9 for 129. Remember, 74 on that one run. The touchdown. Only 508 total yards of offense in the game. But notably, Kelly, Pittsburgh outgained 259 to 249, keeping their streak intact of being outgained in all 10 of their football games this year. They're at the Bengals. Jake Browning, not Joe Burrow. This one is easy to guess, right? Because this will be exactly like the Browns not having Deshaun Watson. This is the Bengals not having Joe Burrow. I know that more or less to be the home team favored by a point. Correct?
We are Steelers 1.
The Steelers are favored by a point. All right. Okay.
But even that one moved. There you go. You had it dead on as of 2 hours ago, but it's jumped the fence over to the Steelers, so they're taking money.
Let's do one more.
All right, moving on. Panthers at Titans.
Panthers, what we talked about. The 1-9 Panthers now. Bryce Young, 16 of 29 for 123 in the loss of the Cowboys. 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Sacked 7 times, and he lost a fumble. They were held to 13 first downs, 187 total yards, and -2 in turnovers led to +10 Dallas net points. Tennessee is 3-7. They're the home team here against the Panthers. They lose to Jacksonville badly after the team's traded punts. Levis, 2nd-and-10 at the Jacksonville 38. 7:49 left first quarter. He fumbled. Foyisade Oluokun recovers, leads to a 57-yard Jacksonville drive. Trevor to Ridley, 3-yard touchdown pass, 7-0 Jacksonville after a 14-play, 34-yard Tennessee drive. That's right, 14 plays, 34 yards that ended with a punt. Brandon McManus, 30-yard field goal, 10-0 Jacksonville. It'd be 13-0 at halftime after a 25-yarder from McManus. Levis was 6 of 10 for 38 in the first half. Tennessee only had 82 total yards and only 5 first downs. Third quarter, Jacksonville converted a 4th-and-4 at the Tennessee 40. Trevor to Ernest Johnson from our Atlanta studios for 34. 2 plays later, Lawrence in from 9, 20-0 Jacksonville. No need to go on. They go up 27-0 later in the third quarter on a Lawrence to Ridley pass. Tennessee would finally score in a little trickeration. Levis to Hopkins from 43, 27-7. Jacksonville would answer Lawrence in from 5, 34-7. 34-14 was the final. Levis ended up 13 of 17 for 158. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Derrick Henry, the aging Derrick Henry, it seems now, 10 for 38. Tennessee was outgained by Jacksonville 389 to 235. They were doubled up in first downs 24-12. They were -2 in turnovers. That led to +14 net Jacksonville points. Carolina at Tennessee. I guess the Titans, the 3-7 Titans, are favored by 4.
You are dead on, my
there
friend.
You go.
Favored by 4. Exactly.
They got to be playing Carolina if the Tennessee Titans are more than a field goal favorite. Let's do one more real quick.
Bucks at Colts.
Bucks, we already talked about they lost to the Niners. Mayfield was 29 of 45 in that game for 246, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was sacked 4 times and he lost a fumble. They were at a 420 to 287 total yard disadvantage. They were -2 in turnovers, as we said, but that only led to +3 San Francisco net points. But the other one prevented the key 7 for the cover. And then there's Indianapolis. Indianapolis coming off a bye, the 5-5 Colts. I will say the Colts are 3-point favorites in this game.
Colts are 1.5-point favorites. 1.5.
Okay, that might be my first play of the week.
I wonder how much this has to do with, I believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are one of your best cover teams in the NFL right now.
I think the Colts are going to – I know backing Gardner Minshew is not fun. But I think coming off a bye, Jonathan Taylor will be that much more ready to be, you know, acclimated to all this. I think he's been a ramp up before the bye. I think now he's full strength. I think the Colts – I feel much better about the Colts than I did about any quote-unquote value on Washington or the Jets or the Saints. Let's put it that way. Colts might be one of my plays.
Bucks 7-3 against the spread this year.
That doesn't scare me. More to come, more games to get to. Numbers Game, Guessing Lines, Week 12 in the National Football League.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up on our Black Friday special now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $60 at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Guessing Lines for Week 12 in the National Football League. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Eric Biggio over there at Caesars. He says, my get off the lawn tweet. You guys are super pros with all the music back there. He goes, also, thanks, Gil, for getting Public Enemies Fight the Power stuck in my head for the rest of the day. You're quite welcome. I knew someone would catch on. Richard Palmer caught on, too. To 1989. Eric, we got to talk about the Caesars app. We got to talk about that. Let's do lunch. Steven Vegas. Always shop around. I saw in Vegas, Deron Bland, Defensive Player of the Year, from 60-1 to 100-1. And then Purdy from 12 to, oh, the range, I see. From 12 to 1 to 18 to 1. Happy betting, fellas. Thank you for that, Steven Vegas. Definitely shop around for all these. Nash, last name Nash. I'll be on the commodes with you. I don't know if I'm going to be, man. Not because I like the number, but simply so I can excuse myself from the dinner table as the adult beverages are flowing and topics like politics get brought up. Commodes plus 11 sweat, better. Greater than drunk family political talks, he says. Oh, Glenn Frommel, thank you for the correction. He says the Hamlin injury was a road game in Cincy. Yesterday, the Bills were home. That is correct. I did make that error. Thank you for that. And Michael Harrison, Gil, I feel for you, had woofed in Survivor yesterday. Hands down, the most frustrating 3 hours of my life. Worst part was still having a chance at the end only to have it blown up out of sheer ineptitude. Organization is a disaster. Not fair to the fans. But you know what? Daniel Snyder's gone. And so everything this year is gravy. I know that's like way simplistic and it doesn't make, you know, make a 4-7 season any better, but it's still better than we were 365 days ago because of that. They got to get rid of the coaching staff. They got to change the name of the team. But Sam Howell's going to be fine. They got a quarterback. He just needs an offensive line. They got to draft offensive linemen. We'll do more tweets. We got games to get to. What do we got?
Patriots at Giants.
Maybe I should have kept reading tweets. The 2-8 Patriots at the 3-8 Giants. New England coming off a bye. Giants in that win over the commodes. Tommy DeVito, 18 for 26 for 246. Three touchdown passes, no picks, and he was sacked 9 times. And they won. 31-19 over Washington. Remember that 9 sack thing? Remember that playoff game where the number one seed Tennessee Titans went up against Joe Burrow and the Bengals and they sacked Burrow 9 times and the Bengals still managed to win that playoff game? DeVito, we talked about how Deron Bland has more touchdowns than like the entire Jets wide receiving core and more than each of those receivers around the league you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Tommy DeVito has more touchdown passes, 6, than Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor combined.
That's an awesome 4. One, too. Go, Tommy!
6-4.
That's a great one.
Giants were outgained by Washington, as we said, 403-292, 28-13 in first, but they were plus 6 in turnovers that led to plus 24 net Giants points. You ain't losing when you're plus 6, and they almost did. Well, they would have at plus 5 anyway. I will say the Patriots minus 1.5. I'll split the difference between pick 'em and 3.
Because between two crappy teams, that line makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is this?
Oh, my God.
Patriots
up on the screen.
Minus 3.5 painted everywhere. This is the one I teased you before the show. I'm going to puke while I make this bet. I'm going to puke while I'm watching this game probably, but I think I have to make a bet on the New York Football Giants.
Here is my review of guessing lines so far this morning. This week is pure living hell.
Yes.
Because you are forced. The value is clearly on a bevy of crap teams. And do you want to live through this? Washington and the Jets and the Giants. Listen, I think the Giants suck, but the Patriots are 3.5-point road favorites?
Road favorites. So we're really saying if New England was at home, they'd be laying like 9 points to this Giants team in that area?
This is what's said. This week is going to separate the men
from
the boys.
What are we talking about?
It is going to separate the men from the boys.
I hate it, Gil, but I'm going to bet it. I hate it.
I'm thinking about it through circa millions, where again, if the Chiefs win tonight, I put in another 3-2. I can still cash, but there'll only be 35 games left after tonight. Every one of which is huge.
Yep. But I'm calling it my race to 30.
But am I going to have like a commodes, Jets, Giants, Colts? Like, oh, this is going to be the worst. Let's do one
See,
more.
that's what you were. You're in the boat I was in last week.
This is so bad.
It was like, if I'm going down, I'm going down with good teams. I'm sick of playing these bad teams.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do this.
All right.
That's it. I quit.
I'm betting that. I'm betting Giants plus 3.5. I'm betting it right now after the show.
Right now. I
don't get that.
I don't think I can. It's the value for sure. I'm not laying 3.5. All right, what's next?
Jags at Texans.
7-3 Jacksonville Jaguars. Again,
they
crushed Tennessee at Houston. The Houston Texans, we haven't gotten in that game. So Jacksonville in that win over the Titans. Lawrence was 24 for 32 for 262, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once, 5 for 17 on the ground, two touchdowns with his feet. Calvin Ridley back from that parlay, 7 for 103, two touchdowns. They outgained Tennessee 389 to 235, doubled them up in first. They were +2 in turnovers. That led directly to +14 net Jacksonville points. And then there's Houston. We haven't talked about this game. Houston beats the Cardinals 21-16. If you had the over in this game, oh, man, that would suck. How did it not go over?
Yeah.
Third play of the game, 2nd and 1 at the Houston 48. Kyler to Rondale Moore deep. Touchdown, 7-0 Arizona. Houston first drive, 4th and 2 at the Arizona 15. Mike Boone rushed for no gain. That led to nada, though, 3 and out. Houston next drive, they go 61, all but 4 yards on Stroud's arm. Stroud to Schultz, Dalton Schultz, that is, from 20 out, 7-7, 5:48 left first quarter. Prater adds a field goal to give Arizona the lead again. 57-yard field goal. How good is Prater? 10-7 Arizona. Houston then goes 75 yards on 10 plays. Singletary in from 10, 14-10 Houston, 11:20 left second quarter. Then the quarterbacks trade picks. Kyler deep to Derek Stingley Jr. on the first play of the ensuing drive. Once again, thank you, Derek Stingley Jr., for being the third pick in the draft 2 drafts ago. That was very good. Then Stroud by Jalen Thompson in the end zone after Houston matriculated. But then after an Arizona punt, Houston takes over at their own 26 with 2:15 left in the half. They go 74 yards. Stroud to Tank Dell from 40 out. 21-10 Houston at halftime. This game is soaring over, yes? No. Stroud, by the way, at halftime. This is at halftime, Kelly. 18 for 24 for 259. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked once. A 333 to 144 advantage in total yards for the Texans. Third quarter, after a missed Matt Amendola 48-yard field goal. And by the way, at halftime, people, I actually got Stroud MVP is going to be a huge thing tomorrow. Texts. Not so fast, everybody. Third quarter, after a missed Matt Amendola 48-yard field goal try. Arizona, 4th and goal at the, let's call it the 1.5. Kyler in, incredible run, by the way. That was an exciting 1.5 yards. 21-16, but the 2-point try, which is a Kyler on a RPO, that run fails. 2:52 left in the third quarter. It's 21-16. Houston 3 and out. Arizona down 5. They're stopped on downs. 4th and 3 at the Houston 23. Murray to Dortch for only 2. Houston drive then extended by a muffed punt, but Stroud, 2nd and 10 at the Arizona 13, picked by Chris Barnes, who returns at 46 yards with 9:30 to go. Arizona then stopped on 4 downs, but then Stroud eventually picked 2nd and 10 at the Arizona 25 by Antonio Hamilton Sr. with 4:58 to go. All of a sudden, Stroud throwing picks. Arizona, then down 5, gets it to 4th and 8 at the Houston 27 with 35 seconds to go. Murray, incomplete pass, ball game. Somehow it stays under. Somehow Houston still wins. I guess Houston should have crushed them, really, without the picks. They were deep in Arizona territory. 21-16 Texans. Stroud, 27 for 37 for 336. 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. He was sacked 3 times. Singletary, 22 for 112 and a touchdown. His first back-to-back 100-yard games of his career. And Tank Dell, 8 for 149 and a touchdown. Jacksonville at Houston, a huge AFC South game. I split the difference between Jacksonville 3 and a pick'em. Jacksonville minus 1.5.
Jacksonville 1 right now. I will be hoping that 1.5 pops and I'll be teasing up the Texans. That is a big game for us. For those of us that have Jaguars division tickets out there, this is massive next week. I think this line is probably about right here. I'm actually, if it was Pick'em or Texans 1, where I know it did float around, I think that would be fair too. I think this is a tight game, but I lean a little bit towards the Texans side.
Nah, I think it's about right. C.J. Stroud will be the rookie of the year. I still don't buy into the fact that he will get any MVP consideration. He'll get a vote because it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so he'll get votes.
Well, he just had, more interceptions yesterday, right, yeah, than he did the whole rest of the season combined.
Brock Purdy, on the other hand. Oh, boy. Kind of like that. All right. We got a bunch more games to get to. We'll get them in. It's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Skill Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. And Thanksgiving to you and yours, by the way. Hope everybody has a great week. Jesse Welch, only because this comeback player of the year award absolutely befuddles and bewilders me, is Kyler live at 60-1? Huge counting stats and seems to be 100% back from a serious injury. Huge counting stats. He just got back. I don't think so, Jesse. 60-1, I wouldn't. I don't think so. It's DeMar Hamlin. And I think we tend to overthink it. I know Jason loves John Mechie. We had the whole very uncomfortable cardiac arrest and leukemia conversation. I'll tell you what's worse than Kyler Murray at 60-1. You know who's on here at 20-1? Aaron Rodgers. Just stop it.
They've just been hanging it there for a few weeks now. Yep.
By the way, there's also an Aaron Rodgers prop about him taking a snap. Let's have a no option two on that.
Yep. That would be good.
Yeah. Hold on. There's more tweets. Let me just get to these other two. This is from Bainbridge DeWeese. You think backing Minshew isn't fun, Gil? I'm pretty sure I'm taking Indy in my survivor pool. Down to me and 8 others. Of course, I could go New England Patriots or Tennessee and feel equally nauseous. What a nauseating week this is.
I think you're going with the right side if those are the choices you have left. Yeah.
And Ben Handorf. Gilly, I'm feeling hollow today as I took your commodes and survivor this weekend. I had a good Sunday betting and fantasy-wise, but still left feeling empty, not being able to do the mental gymnastics that is survivor. Hashtag fire riverboat. Yeah, man. It sucks to lose in survivor this late. And it's really even not that late. You know what I mean? Like, in past years, some of us have gotten past Thanksgiving, too, which is really sort of the threshold in Circa. And it's hard to say this, but, like, having more than 300 entries left is still a lot of entries, but it still sucks. And exactly what Ben said, not being able to just do the mental gymnastics. Forget the money that you paid to get in. Forget the money that you could have won. It's the exercise of it that you miss so much. All right, we got games to get to.
All right, we're into the late window. Browns at Broncos.
Browns and Broncos, 7-3 Browns now at the 5-5 Broncos. Cleveland, we talked about. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, 24 of 43 for 165. No touchdowns, 1 pick, and he was sacked once. He was good when it mattered at the end. Boy, was he. On that last drive, only 508 total yards of offense in the game. Cleveland did outgain Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh, as we mentioned, 10 straight games this year, all of their games outgained. And then there's Denver. Last night, the Broncos win 21-20. They beat the Vikings. The Broncos in their last 3 games now are plus 10 in turnover differential. They were plus 3 yesterday, and it was everything. Third play of the game, 3rd-and-1 at their own 34 for the Vikings. Dobbs on a designed run, stripped by Baron Browning, grabbed by Jaquan McMillan. The officiating consultant on the broadcast, I forgot his name, Says it should have been a 15-yard flag on Denver. There was nary a flag. It did set up a Denver was set up at the Minnesota 30. The defense did hold, but it led to a Lutz 31-yard field goal. The Broncos led 3-0, 10:28 left in the first quarter. Dobbs was in and out of the tent after that hit. Minnesota punted. Denver 3 and out. Minnesota down 3-0. They go 65 yards, all but 18 on the ground. First play of the second quarter, Dobbs eschews throwing it away or taking the sack. He sheds Jonathan Cooper. He hits Josh Oliver. 3-yard touchdown. Kirk Cousins could never, ever in a million years have made that play. 7-3, Vikings. Denver, 3 and out. Minnesota gets it back. Joseph, 34-yard field goal. 10-3, Minnesota. 8:09 left in the second quarter. Then Denver gets a Lutz 30-yard field goal. 10-6, Minnesota. 4:08 left. Minnesota punts after this is the end of this half. Both coaches botched it. Minnesota punts after a terrible play call and pass on 3rd and 1. That stopped the clock and gave Denver back the ball with just under a minute left, or just over a minute left. Minnesota was having no problem matriculating on the ground, and I don't know why they did that. So Denver gets the ball back. They matriculate. 1st and 10 at their own 47 with 47 seconds left. Wilson to Adam Trautman for 14. Broncos have 2 timeouts left, and oddly, nay, stupidly, Kelly, they don't use one of them. By the time the next play was over and they gained 5 yards and used their second timeout, there was only 17 seconds left in the half at the Minnesota 34. So they settle for a Lutz 52-yard field goal. He makes it, but if you had Minnesota money line for the first half, boy, oh boy, did old Sean Payton do you a favor there. 10-9 Minnesota at halftime. Third quarter, Denver 3 and out. Minnesota 3rd and 8 at the Denver, I don't know what yard line here. Dobbs, touchdown. Cousins could never have ever in a million years made that play. What an unbelievable play by Dobbs there. 17-9 Vikings. 7:55 left in the third quarter. Denver 3 and out. Minnesota matriculates. They're about to just put this game away. But 1st and 10 at the Denver 34, Alexander Mattison hit by DJ Jones, and he fumbles, recovered by Josie Jewell, 2:48 left in the third quarter. That would lead to a Lutz 37-yard field goal, 17-12 Minnesota, 12:40 to go. Then Minnesota 1st and 20 at their own 15, Hobbs hit by Josie Jewell, picked by Jaquan McMillan. Denver set up 1st and goal at the 9. They have to settle, though, for a Lutz 28-yard field goal. The defense holds for the Vikings after a second down face mask penalty on Mims set the Broncos back. 17-15 Denver, 10:37 to go. Then Minnesota, another 3 and out, but instead of a punt, fake, snap to the up-back, Ty Chandler, goes for 31. Then 3rd and 20 at the Denver 48, Dobbs to Ty Chandler for 19. 4th and inches at the Denver 28, Tuchus push, convert, but they have to settle for a Joseph 30-yard field goal, 20-15 Minnesota. Oh, no. It's open for Denver backers with a touchdown and a two-point conversion to win this. 3:17 to go. Denver, 3rd and 10 at their own 25. Sean Payton calls a running play. Perine, Samaje Perine runs for 7. Obviously, he had a 4th down play in mind. They do. Wilson to Sutton on 4th and 3 for 13. What a catch by Sutton. There was also a defensive PI that would have saved him also. 10 plays, 75 yards, 2:14. They get it to the house. Wilson to Sutton from 15 out. The two-point conversion will determine the spread. Remember, it was 2.5 in favor of the Broncos. They're up 1, 21-20 with 1:03 to go. Because of course it will. No good. Not even close. Denver, 21-20. Minnesota did get the ball. They started the 25 with all three of their timeouts. They did convert a 4th and 1 after Addison didn't turn it up on 2nd down. Hobbs had an incredible scramble just to get it back to the line on 3rd down. Then Dobbs sneak converts on 4th. But it was 4 and out from there. Ball game. Denver wins it 21-20, but Minnesota covers. For Minnesota backers, that's all that mattered. Wilson, 27 of 35 for 259, 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. They were +3 in turnovers. That led to 3 Lutz field goals, +9 Denver points net on that. And that is all she wrote. And again, the Broncos, not only +3 in turnovers last night, they're +10 in turnovers when you go back to their games against Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. It's just been an unbelievable ride for the Broncos in these past 3 weeks getting to 500. I will say, and this is another one like that Cleveland-Cincinnati thing earlier against Pittsburgh, where you kind of know what the line is, right? Denver's got to be about a 1.5-point favorite in the same way that they were right around there against Minnesota here against Cleveland. Yes?
Yep.
Is it 1.5?
That is great deductive reasoning by you, Gil Alexander.
I deduced.
It is, yeah, Broncos 1.5.
I deduced it. Let's go. Let's get a couple more in here.
All right, Rams at Cardinals.
4-6 Rams, we talked about Stafford in victory over the Seahawks, 17 of 31 for 190, one touchdown, one picks. He was sacked once. Only 408 total yards of offense combined in that game. And then Arizona, who we talked about, lost to the Texans. They're 2-9. Kyler was 20 of 30 for 214, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked three times, seven carries for 51, and a touchdown. Arizona by 1.5, splitting the pick in the three at home.
This is Rams 1-point favorites.
Like every, I said this about the Rams Seahawks last week, the Megapod question of what's the game you want no part of? Rams Cardinals will be that game. Want absolutely no part.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
How could you possibly have conviction here?
I mean, the only thing I could possibly be talked into is actually on the total over.
If I could have a conversation with Sean McVay before the game and just absolutely go nuts on him, then maybe I'll bet the Rams. Hey,
plus we don't know what's going on with Kupp. Right?
We don't. Well, as I said, they're better off without him because then I actually have to spread the ball around and get it to Nacua. I don't know why I'm whispering and talking like that, but I'm just saying. What's next? One more.
You're crazy. Chiefs at Raiders. 425.
I'm telling you, if you don't believe me how bad Sean McVay is from week to week, you're not watching enough Rams football.
I'm not.
It's dreadful.
I'm not arguing that. I'm not going to say that the Rams are better without Cooper Kupp.
They
are. That.
They are. I'm telling you with 100% certainty they are. Because all Stafford does is feed it to his boyfriend. They were better without him before this. Before he got, anyway.
Chiefs at Raiders.
Chiefs by Chiefs. Sight unseen. They play tonight. Raiders losing but covering against the Dolphins. O'Connell, 24 of 41 for 271, one touchdown, three picks. He was sacked twice. Chiefs by 7 on the road against the Raiders.
This is up to 9.5.
This is another one I don't want to. I don't want to play the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm not going down that road.
Week 12 is brutal. Brutal for these.
I mean, definitely you can't make a call on this till after midnight.
My contest entry is going to be the poo-poo platter of picks. Coming back, 3 more to get to, I believe. Numbers Game, VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Betsgiving is back. Starting Wednesday, all of VSiN's hosts, writers, and analysts are competing in a week-long competition to see who is the best bettor at VSiN. Follow all the bets and leaderboard at VSiN.com or go to the DK Sportsbook app, select social, then betting groups, where you'll be able to join our Betsgiving group to follow the action. You excited, Kelly Bidlin, for Betsgiving?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Mine will be flooded with NBA bets. People are going to be excited. That's what Thanksgiving is all about, right?
People are going to be like, why does Gil bet so much in-game college basketball? He doesn't really talk about this a lot. Looking forward to it starting Wednesday. This, of course, assumes that I can get in, technologically speaking, and actually make it all work.
I thought we had you set.
I got myself set, thank you very much, except for, like, I don't know how to change my name to something that people will realize, oh, that's you. Oh, it is. It's defaulted to some random thing underscore Gil.
Oh, yeah, I just left mine.
You just left yours. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody is.
I'm going to have to text Goulet because there's some details I don't want to
I'm sure he knows all about it.
I'm sure he does. I can count on that. This is, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from a Joe named Jim. A Joe named Jim. Singing Alexander Madison in the Hamilton cadence? I thought I was the only person on earth that did this. Just you wait. No, man, I do it every time Alexander Madison gets the ball in my head. I'm singing Hamilton.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common one,
Alexander Madison. Stringfellow Hawk. Giants fan here. Tommy DeVito versus Belichick defense. Could be Pat scoring on defense. I'll lay the 3.5. There you go.
Yeah, I've got a lot of those tweets. Sure, go for it.
Arch.
I just don't think this is the same Belichick or the same Patriots team for us to be connecting those kind of trends to.
Arch Indy. We disaffectionately refer to Sean McVay as Coach McGenius, the same way a trashy, overrated home is sometimes called a McMansion. And Max Cash. Oh, Max Cash was our baller. Yeah, he was the guy who was the baller who tweeted it. What did he tweet last week? That was baller tweet? I can't remember what it was.
I think he had to be helped out a couple times.
I think he was like, what if you have $1 million on you in a sports book? What's kind of security?
Security knows who he is.
I know Max Cash. I'm paraphrasing. I'm just joking. He says, set the over-under on how many entries will split the survivor pot. He sets it at 9.5.
Ooh, great call.
I will go over.
Oh,
I will go over, but not by much. I think it will be in the teens.
That'll be an interesting. I mean, at what point is too many to chop with, though?
What do you mean, too many to chop?
Too many people.
There will not be a chop if there's too many.
Nine. Yeah, I know, but I think you're already getting up there when you're talking in the teens.
I think if they're teens.
Like, remember how we talked about, like, all it takes is one guy?
All it takes is one guy, dude. And this is my biggest thing. One guy or one girl.
Right, yeah.
Who thinks they didn't get there with the help of great fortune.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, I'm just better at this than all of you are. I'm not chopping with you guys. That's all it takes, and there's no chop. But I think if there's 15, 16, I don't think people are racing to chop at that point. Even though it's going to be a lot of money, the intrinsic value, I just think people get greedy. They're like, we've been in this for 17 weeks or 18 or 19, whatever it is, and because there's a Thanksgiving and a Christmas. I'm going to the end. Last year where there was three who chopped at the end and they did some game,
yeah,
right? That's,
yeah, we think.
That
yeah.
was smart of them.
Right.
Because they all guaranteed themselves a nice chunk of cash. I want to say $1 million each or something.
Yeah, I thought it was like half of it and then they played for the second half. Yeah.
That's the way you play. But that's three people. If you have 15, that ain't happening, I don't think.
Plus, again, remember, you got to organize all this separately.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that is, this. It's not something that Cirque handles for you. You have to handle all of that separately.
We got three more to get to. What's next?
Bills at Eagles.
Bills at Eagles. This is still an afternoon game.
Yeah.
Okay.
4:25.
So the Eagles, obviously, sight unseen. They play the Chiefs, which is a huge game tonight. This is the gauntlet. Remember, this is the Eagles gauntlet, so it doesn't stop. The 6-5 Bills, who had the bye against Zach Wilson yesterday. At Philly, who's 8-1 currently, and that's correct. The Bills have played 11 football games at this moment, and the Eagles have played 9. That will obviously change to 10 tonight. Josh Allen in victory was 20 of 32 for 275, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked once yesterday against the Jets. Shakir, 3 for 115 and a touchdown. He had that big, long touchdown pass. 393 to 155, total yards advantage against the inept Zach Wilson. And then Tim Boyle led Jets, and they were plus 3 in turnovers, which led to a plus 10 net Buffalo points situation. Philadelphia again plays tonight. Philadelphia minus 4, I will say, sight unseen on the Eagles tonight. Obviously, injuries could play a factor.
This is 3.5 now. Hold on.
Yeah, I think it should be a tick above 3, basically.
I think we're 3.5. Yeah, Eagles 3.5 painted pretty much everywhere. This opened a lot of spots 3, which I was kind of eager to get down on the Eagles with on that side, but I wasn't going to make a bet before the game tonight. So yeah, 3.5 painted everywhere.
Sunday Night Football.
Ravens at Chargers.
Ravens on extra rest. They beat the Bengals on Thursday against the Chargers, who again, torpedoed by their own selves, charging yesterday against the Packers. Quentin Johnston drop pass, touchdown. Keenan Allen drop touchdown. Eckler fumble at the 2. Herbert, 21 of 36 for 260 yesterday in defeat. At the hands of the Packers, 2 touchdowns, no picks. They were sacked twice. 8 carries for 73 yards. Herbert does it with his legs sometimes. And Keenan Allen, despite that drop, 10 for 116 and a touchdown. Baltimore by 4 on the road. Give the Chargers a little respect, but not
much. You
are
dead on this one. Yep, Ravens 4 painted across the board.
Huh? All right.
Monday Night Football. Yes. Bears at Vikings.
3-8 Bears. 6-5 Vikings after they lose last night in dramatic fashion to the Broncos. Fields in defeat in one of the strangest football games. Again, we started with this game. I don't think we did it enough justice. We didn't start, but it was the second game. Oh, no, it was the first game. Fields was 16 of 23 for 169 yesterday. 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. 18 carries for 104, as is his MO. Moore, DJ Moore, 7 for 96 and a touchdown. And again, they out time of possession to Detroit, if you will. 40 minutes and 24 seconds to 19:36. They were plus 2 in turnovers. Detroit had 4. They had 2. That led only to plus 1 Chicago point. That's it. And again, this was the weirdest game because Chicago seemingly had it in control. There was 4 minutes and 22 seconds left or whatever it was, above 4 minutes. The Lions scored in a blink. It was a 3-and-out, and the Lions scored again. And it was just like, what just happened? Do you imagine if Aiden Hutchins, by the way, if that safety wasn't a safety and Hutchinson had like scooped and scored it and they had covered Detroit?
Yeah, it was the offensive lineman. It was so funny because it looked so lazy in real time, but it was like the smart choice.
It was a smart thing.
Where he goes down to like half halfway goes down to pick it up. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to get there. Let me just kick
it. It's a smart thing.
Yeah, it was a smart thing.
Darnell Wright. Yeah, the Bears. So that was the Bears in defeat. And then Minnesota, as we just talked about, losing 21-20 somehow to the Broncos. Dobbs, 20 of 32 for 221. One touchdown, one pick. He was sacked twice. 8 carries for 21 yards and a touchdown. He did lose a fumble. And I will say it again. The 2 touchdowns for the Vikings last night, the Dobbs scramble, avoid the defender, throw the 3-yard touchdown pass, and then his scramble run. Kirk Cousins doesn't make those plays ever.
No, never. He never does.
Never. Plus 3.
But Dobbs can't hit Justin Jefferson on 60-yard touchdown passes when Justin Jefferson gets back.
You think that's the case?
Yes, I think that's the case.
Why?
Because the arm talent we've seen with Kirk Cousins for years.
But what you're just deciding that.
Okay.
By the way, we had somebody on who said, like, Dobbs really sort of fell off later in the year with the Cardinals. No, he didn't. His team was terrible.
Yeah, his team was terrible.
Minnesota plus 3 in turnovers yesterday. Excuse me, minus 3 in turnovers, which led directly to plus 9 net Denver points. Boy, oh boy, that was everything in that game. Chicago at Minnesota. I'll say Minnesota by 4.5.
3.5.
Oh, I think I like the Vikings there then. Okay, there's a play. I like the Vikings. What did you say that the Baltimore Chargers line was?
4.
Okay.
Like you were dead on.
What did you say the Philly Buffalo line was?
3.5, which has risen.
Oh, okay.
That opened pretty much 3, I think, everywhere.
Because if either of those were 3, I would play the favorite. But I'm sure once it gets to 3, people will immediately buy it back.
What do you read into that movement?
Which movement?
Okay, let's start tonight. I think it's a good way to close this anyway. Start tonight. It's 2.5. There are some 3s out there, right? But that has mainly stayed 2.5 all week on that Monday Night Football game tonight against the Chiefs.
It's like you, me, and Matt used to talk about on primetime action. We were always so shocked by how information or the situation was always out there for as long as it was. And then right before game time, it's as if there's 10 and more million people betting right in this country. I just think people bet when they bet, and most people bet late. They're not like us.
Yeah.
They're not immersed in this. And so they wake up Monday morning, they're like, 2.5? I got to bet the Chiefs.
It just surprised me that this has barely moved, and then already that Eagles-Bills game has come off the 3 and gone to 3.5 off the
openers. It's either super early or super late.
Right. I'm surprised we haven't seen more 3s on this. It makes me a little nervous tonight where the books are glad to take Chiefs money and not go up to 3 and get a wave of Eagles money in. Yeah,
it might be three by game.
It
might be 3 by game time.
Yeah.
Bottom line is I don't read much into any of it because to speculate is a fool's errand.
Yeah, that's probably the best.
Yeah. God, what did we learn from that exercise? That I love crappy teams like... On value, the only legit teams that I kind of like are Minnesota and Indianapolis in the end. Hope you found some value in that exercise. It has been tried and true all year. We've done all we can do. Best bets is next. Enjoy. From Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.